Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to Top of the Morning on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel. For today, we are continuing with our series of Year Ahead conversations with members from the UBS Chief Investment Office. Joining me here in studio in 1285 today, glad to welcome back Asset Allocation Strategist for the Americas with the UBS Chief Investment Office, Mike Gord. Mike is joining us to provide a deeper dive into some of the key messages in focus from the UBS Chief Investment Office. So with that, Mike, thank you for dropping by the studio today. Nice to be with you here at the table and looking forward to our conversation.
Thanks for having me, Dan. Very happy to be here.
So, Mike, with the year ahead outlook now available, our listeners might recall yesterday I had a conversation with your colleague, Jason Dreho, about the full publication. That episode is now available up on UBS On Air Market Moves and would, of course, encourage our listeners, our clients to give that a listen. Though, Mike, for the purposes of today's conversation, can you take a few moments to tell us about what the key messages CIO wants to make sure our listeners and our clients hear?
Yeah, absolutely. So definitely have a few key messages for our investors to be aware of as we look to 2025. Kicking it off, the first message we're highlighting is to position for lower interest rates. You know, most major central banks are going to continue cutting rates over the period of 2025. And so in the U.S. specifically, we're expecting from kind of today through the end of 2025, five more 25 basis point cuts. So that's through the end of next year. So what does that mean for investors and portfolios? Well, first and foremost, the yield that you've been able to get on your cash, money market funds, and kind of short-dated treasuries, that's going to drop. So if you were relying on those assets for for income from your portfolio, you're going to need to look elsewhere to replace that. So the good news there is that we have a few different opportunities that we see today that we think investors should be mindful of. So digging into those, the first is going to be in investment grade corporate bonds. So all-in yields here are really attractive versus their history. That said, the spreads to treasuries from the IG market are very tight. So wider spreads are a risk to this trade. But that said, we don't expect real material widening based on a few different factors. First is corporate fundamentals remain very strong. And given such, we don't see any deterioration in credit quality. Another factor supporting IG is that, you know, the ongoing rate cutting cycle is a technical support. It should drive more inflows to the asset class, and that's also going to help keep spreads tight. So other than IG, other actions that we recommend investors take is to consider implementing diversified fixed income strategies and income-oriented equity strategies. So diversified fixed income solutions can improve overall portfolio diversification and increase yield by including small allocations to riskier credits beyond just investment grade, things like high yield or select emerging market sovereign credits. And on the equity side, income-oriented equity strategies that focus on kind of high and sustainable dividend yields, that can help replace much of the lost portfolio income from lower rates. And it also, you know, gives investors that exposure to the equity market and participation in further upside over there. So that's kind of the income portion of our key messaging for next year. But we do also have a constructive outlook on risk assets overall. Specifically in equities, there's more to go, even after the strong rally we've seen this past year. So looking to 2025, we think the U.S. is particularly attractive. We see the S&P 500 hitting 6,600 by the end of 2025. And really, you know, the overall economic backdrop is supportive. There are structural trends around AI beneficiaries, and that also bolsters the outlook. So looking at this past year, 2024, we see about 11% full year earnings growth for the S&P 500. We think that positive earnings growth is going to continue next year with about 8% upside. So digging into the kind of the sector composition a little bit more, our highest conviction sector is tech. AI spending is robust. We expect that to continue in the year ahead. Additionally, the PC and smartphone end market demand has improved and is definitely looking better than it has this past year. Beyond tech, we like utilities. This is a sector that has good defensive characteristics in the event of, you know, an economic shock. But it also has kind of structural growth drivers with exposure to the AI story. So lastly, I will just mention that we do also see financial sector as attractive. It should be a major beneficiary of lower interest rates because that reduces bank funding costs, which helps spur more loan growth and also results in increased capital market activity. And then there's an extra tailwind there that under the incoming administration, we could see a bit more of a deregulatory agenda, which all else equal would be beneficial for financials. That's a high-level summary of what parts of the market we like today and how we're recommending investors take advantage of those opportunities in the year ahead.
Well, Mike, thank you for running through some of those key messages, reiterating the outlook. There's a lot there for listeners, our clients, to consider in the way of positioning, and do, of course, encourage our clients to get a hold of a copy of the Year Ahead publication to read further into some of these key messages. Mike, since you're here, I do want to ask you about this new framework which CIO has introduced, the Transformational Innovation Opportunities. So can you take a few moments, Mike, to talk to us about what some of those opportunities look like?
Yeah, absolutely. And I do know transformational innovation opportunities it's a bit of a mouthful. the financial services industry, so we have acronyms for everything. So we're calling these the TRIO. So as you said, yep, new framework. And this really encompasses kind of what we're viewing as longer term investment themes that have really strong structural growth drivers. So with the Year Ahead publication, we focus on two of these opportunities specifically. The first is really on making sure that investors have adequate portfolio exposure to developments in the artificial intelligence value chain. In our view, AI is going to be one of the most, if not the most, important investment opportunity of the full decade. Big tech companies are spending prolifically on AI-related investments. So in 2024, the estimate is about $218 billion of AI-related CapEx spending from just the big four tech firms. That's Amazon, Alphabet, Meta, and Microsoft. That's a 47% increase from 2023 spending. And that trajectory is upward strongly in our expectations for the years ahead. So look, these publicly traded kind of AI-related names have obviously been, you know, the market darlings of the past year or two. But the growth story isn't over yet. It'll take some time, but we're really just starting to see serious AI-related revenues actually starting to accrue. And looking ahead a couple of years, by 2027, this will be five-ish years after the formal launch of ChatGPT. We're expecting the enabling layer of AI, and that's kind of the physical and software infrastructure providers, to generate over $500 billion in direct revenue from these investments. So we're expecting these large revenues to be delivered by also beyond just that enabling layer, also the intelligence layer and the application layer. Those are kind of how we view AI, is in those three layers. The enabling is that kind of physical and software infrastructure. The intelligence is the large language models themselves. And then the application layer is kind of end user tools, things like Microsoft's, you know, developer Copilot, for example. So that's kind of the overall theme and the story that we're telling. And now, what do you do about that as an investor? So there are a few things. First, you know, the rapid market growth means that most of our clients are not sufficiently allocated to this theme from a structural perspective. So when looking at your actual portfolio, we think a neutral level of exposure to AI, that would involve allocating around 25% of your full equity portfolio. So a substantial amount. And then the second one is, in the near term, we recommend that you tilt your exposures towards that enabling layer, those infrastructure providers I mentioned. They have the clearest lines to sustainable revenue over the next few years. And our preferred way to play this is within the semiconductor space. And then finally, the third way that investors should position here is diversify beyond just the listed U.S. mega cap tech names. Look towards private markets. There are a lot of really innovative, smaller private companies that are contributing to this ecosystem, and allocating to those private firms, it improves your overall portfolio diversification. It can improve your overall long-term returns. But again, that's going to be for investors that are able to manage that illiquidity that comes with those private market investments. So I know that was a lot. I do have one more message that I do want to share.
Sure.
And that is to invest in power and resources. This is a new theme that we have come out with recently. Similar to AI, it's a story that's going to play out over a number of years, but the groundwork is already being laid. This space is really set for some transformational growth, and it comes with strong investment opportunities across power generation, grid infrastructure, and natural resources. And the thesis here is that there's a confluence of a few factors that are really increasing the demand for electricity in the U.S. and globally as well. So the first one is going to be AI power demand. AI requires a lot more demand than, you know, our existing technology. Electric vehicles, the electrification of kind of our industrial complex, and, you know, any climate-related goals will also demand greater investment in the electricity value chain, call it. So how do we recommend that investors get exposure here? So at the start of kind of the, call it the electrification value chain, demand for raw transition metals is going to grow. Initially, it's going to be focused on things that are essential for kind of electronics components. So looking at things like copper, things like aluminum. So firms that have, you know, strong resource bases and access to those and efficient production of those raw materials should outperform in our view. Next is going to be electricity generation. This is going to be a longer term theme for investors. So it's going to be things like growth in renewable resources, renewable energy, natural gas, hydrogen, nuclear energy. These are long-term, high fixed cost projects that will pay off in the long, you know, over a decade plus horizon, but are going to be a little bit less accessible in the near term in terms of improving your overall portfolio returns. Further along kind of the value chain is the transmission segment, which we anticipate the strongest growth in the near term. So electric grids in this country are in serious need of upgrades. It's been a decade plus of basically stagnant investment and underinvestment, if you will. So, you know, we think that, you know, this is going to benefit the kind of industrial manufacturers with exposure to end markets like these infrastructure providers, as well as technology companies that are focused on kind of grid modernization projects through both physical production, things like grid sensors, or even, you know, kind of the software side, things like grid load management software. Those are going to be the firms that are going to accrue the greatest benefits in the near term. And then finally, the most visible segment for investors is kind of the consumption end of this value chain, things like electric vehicles and data centers. In the near term, specifically, data center power requirements are going to be pretty challenging to meet. So if we look at kind of the overall U.S. electricity consumption today, these data centers take about 4% of our, you know, national electricity. In 2030, independent estimates say that's going to more than double to 9%. So just a few years away. So firms with kind of that direct exposure to data centers and EV markets are going to be kind of the biggest winners amongst this consumption segment, if you will, of the electricity value chain. So I'm out of breath. I know that was a lot of detail. You mentioned it before, Dan. I just want to say, you know, if any listeners want more details, please, please, please see the full year ahead publication, which is now out.
Well, Mike, thank you for reviewing those transformational innovation opportunities or TRIO. What's interesting about them, as you pointed out, they all have a longer term tilt. So do look forward to continuing the conversation around those themes with you and your colleagues in the year ahead. Though, Mike, thank you for dropping by the studio today to outline some of these themes and messages for our clients, and looking forward to continuing the conversation.
Absolutely. Thanks again for having me, Dan. Great seeing you.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/workingwithus. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.